Chat Technorama for Thursday, October 27, 2005.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings, panometric fan, Milford trunnions, and the phasant lunar wane shaft, Lotus O deltoid type, semi-boloid slots of the stator, drawn reciprocation dingle arm, sinusoidal deplaneration, retroencabulator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Technorama. I'm Craig Stepp, and tonight I'm like a broken drill. I'm Chuckless. Chuck and his family are in Florida hanging out with Mickey down in Disney World. So we're going to miss him tonight, and I'll try to do the best I can. But, you know, I always know when you have two people doing a show together that when one of them's not there, it always feels like it's not quite right because, you know, we get so used to working off each other. So I put together a little something to kind of fill the void. I built RoboChuck. So let's get him up here on the desk. There we go. So say hello, RoboChuck.
Hey, boys and girls.
There you go. See, kind of feels a little warmer in here now.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, coming up on tonight's show, we have I'm going to talk about a bunch of hacks. We got some listener feedback, and we got Chuck's. We got Chuck's second part of his Robot Center interview that, you know, he kind of snuck in and went up the press because they were supposed to come the day after. So anyway, so we're gonna catch up with him and see how that went. Sounds like it was pretty good. And I hope y'all will bear with me, and we'll get through this show together. All right. There you go.
On this day in tech history for October 27th, 2005. It's October 27th. This is the 300th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are a sparse 65 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1904, the first New York City subway line opens. The system goes on to become the biggest in the United States of America and one of the biggest in the world. The first commercially sponsored television program airs on this date in 1946. It was called Geographically Speaking, sponsored by Bristol Myers. On this date in 1953, the British nuclear test Totem 2 is detonated at Emu Field, South Australia. Then finally, in 1973, the Canyon City meteorite, a 1.4 kilogram chondrite-type meteorite, strikes in Fremont County, Colorado. And that's the way it was on this date in tech history for October 27, 2005.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Yeah, who doesn't know me? All right. Well, listen, we got a little listener feedback tonight. I've got an email from Darwusha Weehim. I'm sorry. I'm really trying. Anyway, howdy. Wanted to drop you a line to say thanks for pointing me towards Gregarious. I've now got it. I've now given up on blog lines and Net Newswire in favor of one of these of this sweet reader. Just wanted to drop you a line and say thanks for pointing me towards Gregarious. I've now given up on blog lines and Net Newswire in favor of one sweet reader. I was liking it a lot until I fired up my PDA, a Palm Tungsten C, and watched with glee as it auto-detected my browser and delivered a beautiful mobile-friendly page. Thanks and keep up the good work. Sorry for butchering their name, but other than that, we'll try and keep up the good work. But yeah, I've played with that. I still use it, and I've had an excellent experience with it. So I can only see it gets better. Plus, I like the fact that it's written in PHP, so I can kind of edit it in any way I need to. So anyway, thanks, Darwusha, for your feedback. And see, we'll be right back with the news here in just a second.
Don't touch that click wheel.
You're listening to Chuck Chat.
All right, and this is what we got on tap for news today. Google Base. Now, I know we try to stick, it's kind of hard to stay away from mainstream news because there's so much of it. And there's not much that anybody doesn't know or already knows or hears about every day. So anyway, Google Base is no exception. In fact, they have just gone live with it, I think, but I had a little trouble trying to get into it. What Google Base is a place for everyone to put a description of your party planning service, articles on current events from your website, listing of used car for sale. It's basically a database for anybody to put anything in there. And depending on what it is and, I guess, the ranking of it, it can make it into the mainstream Google search, and if it's things for sale, can make it through Frugal. So I'm kind of seeing this, as other people kind of predicted, was breaking in on the Craigslist market and maybe a little bit on eBay, especially if you can start selling things and they show up on Frugal with price comparisons. I think it's going to be something to watch. And like I said, it was up, and the guy that had a little article about it, he said at the time of this writing, Google Base still suffers from some problems such as they've had in the past with new applications trying to get past the login page. But I'm sure that they will get that taken care of quickly. And Firefox 1.5, I think it's the release candidate that was supposed to come out this coming Friday, has been delayed for a couple days. They got some bugs and that cropped up a couple of showstoppers. So Firefox is going to be a little bit delayed, but nonetheless, I've been using 1.5, the beta, and I like it a lot. I think it's organized a little bit better, especially the menus, or the options rather. It looks a little more easier to move around in, so look forward to that. And in our strange story, not really strange story, but it's kind of cool story, I should say, is a pinball machine made of Legos. Now this is, it's no article really, it's just a gallery, and it's a bunch of Legos. It's actually a Lego community, and they made a pinball machine made out of Legos.
Really?
Yep. And it's pretty cool. There's about three or four pictures on there, and you can kind of see different angles for it. I don't know what kind of ball they've got on there. I assume it's like a regular steel ball. Anyway, it looks really cool. We'll have a link to that, of course. Actually, we'll have links to everything in the show notes, so why do I keep saying that? But anyway, let's see. We're going to move on to some of the hacks that I found in our main stories right after this.
This is Dr. Pamela Gay from Slacker Astronomy, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi on Chuck Chat.
This Halloween,
I'll fix it where they don't have any user problems anymore.
In the dark, in the cold, in the rain, just where you'd want to be.
Shh, what was that?
You know, it could be the ghost of Mark, the Unix system.
Join us as we present the Server Room of Horrors. What secrets lurk in your server room? This is a Friends in Tech production at www.friendsintech.com.
be looking for that this coming Friday. We're going to play it in our feed. But I also encourage you, this is a community effort from the Friends in Tech. We're also a proud member of the friendsintech.com. And it's not just us, but several other guys from the group have contributed voices and time to this project. And this is going to be cool. A little Halloween special coming. So be sure to look for that. And go over to friendsintech.com and subscribe to the feed, because we're doing other podcasts in the feed as well. Actually, more like specialized segments. And our retrofit, you can kind of see what has been going on in the Friends in Tech community. And this last week, so definitely go over there and sign up for that. Well, tonight in our main stories, I wanted to talk about some hacks. I always love a good hack, you know. My CVS camera hack, that turned out really good. Well, the first one on my list is a projector hack. Not just a regular projector, but this is a projector to put television or movies or whatever on your wall. Kind of like you know, those little projectors that you buy. They're like $2,000, that'll display a huge, you know, it's like 6 foot image of whatever you're watching. Well, this guy has a $300 build your own projector. Basically, you go off eBay, get you an overhead projector like you had back, like you've seen in school or whatever, and you take an older LCD screen, take it apart, and you take the screen and lay it down on there. Of course, you have to have fans because it'll crack the screen, but you lay the screen over the white lit up area on the projector and it will display right on your screen. And he has, you know, instructions on how to do all that. It doesn't look like it'd take a whole lot of time to do. It's just mainly disassembling and kind of getting everything pieced together. So that one is definitely cool. It's over at tomshardware.com. This last week at work, I've been trying to put together this CD server with Linux. And the whole idea is to be able to take CDs, software or whatever, data, and put it in the drive, have it archive an image of that CD onto the hard drive, and that image is made available through a Samba share that anybody can hit. Their ISOs are automatically mounted, so it looks like the CD's there. You read data off of it, and when you don't talk to it for a minute or two, it unmounts it. So it kind of sits there dormant until you use it. It's really good if you got a bunch of CDs, like, you know, I don't know, your Windows CDs or some things that you would be trying to get access to all the time. Instead of carrying them around, throw them on the network in a CD jukebox. And Linux Journal has a great article on how to do this. It's a little bit dated and could probably use a little bit updated material to go with that, but it's pretty relevant. So Linux Journal's got one. Facts.org has a good how-to, and I assume that's at the Linux Documentation Project also. I think it's the same how-to. And I found the virtual CD jukebox. What it is instructions on how to set all this up with a link to a script that automatically does this for you. You just open up a command prompt and type in rip CD or whatever you call a script, and it would just prompt you for a name for the CD. Say I was putting my MAME ROMs on there. So I wanted an ISO of my MAME ROMs. So I put MAME disk 1. And it would do it. It's shared off through the Samba automatically. That's all you had to do. That's the virtual CD jukebox. Now the other hack, kind of a hack that came out this last 2 weeks. VMware has come out with a VMware player. It's not, you probably heard us talking about the VMware workstation, which I use a lot, where it's a virtual machine that you can install whatever operating system you want into it. So that's what VMware Workstation is. It's very good, very flexible, does snapshots so you can go back in time on your OS. Well, the VMware Player will allow you to take your image, say if you had it on a thumb drive, it was small enough to fit on there, and it would mount up your VMware image and allow you to access it and run it. Of course, you don't have all the niceties that you would with Workstation. One, you can't really create an image with it, so it's really limited. But you can run on OS and do everything just like you would on VMware Workstation. Like I said, it sans the features. Now, over at Hackaday.com, this article that I'm talking about, they have an how-to on how to take there's an image on VMware's website that you can use with the VMware player. Basically, it's think it's Ubuntu Linux with a browser and all that. You just download the image, run it in VMware Player, and you've got a nice secure browsing situation where you don't have to worry about viruses and stuff. You just shut off the player. And anyway, I'm kind of rambling. So the hack, the short of it is, you download one of these images, wipe the image, and then you install whatever you want on it. So you can read more about that hack on there, which I thought was kind of cool. So anyway, let's move on, and we're going to talk to the guys back at the Robot Shack, or whatever it's called, around the corner from Chuck's house, the Robot Center. So here's that interview.
What do you hope to get out of this after you graduate? Where do you want to go? What does this experience leave you with?
My personal pending is I definitely am going to try specializing in the robotics end or the education end. I haven't decided exactly which way I want to go yet. But the beauty of the program is when we graduate, we have so many options that we can go pretty much wherever we see fit. Mm-hmm. If we want to specialize in robotics, if we want to specialize in simply the programming behind it, or we can even specialize in something as like the vision system.
Mm-hmm.
We can specialize in strictly vision systems, things like that. So,
how about you? What do you want to get out of this at the end?
Well, I'd definitely like to go to work in the robotics field as well. Kuka's got a lot of opportunities here with their partner company, Robotech. That's something we've all been looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Up to that, I'm not sure. I might continue my education, possibly get my bachelor's degree either at UW Stout or something, maybe focus on the educational aspects of it, like Ryan said. We're still kind of deciding on that yet. So,
if you had to wildly vision a company that you'll be working for, what would you say? Automotive? Medical?
Don't care, right?
I don't care. I just want to work with this stuff.
Give me a check and I'll do this stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
The automotive industry has definitely got prospects. Ben was mentioning in the preview or the speeches before, it's not the only company that uses robotics.
Right, right.
But however, in my family, involvement in the automotive industry goes back a long ways, from mechanics to we had a salesman in the family of automotive. So it'd be kind of cool to put another feather in the hat and be in the building side of it, actually be involved in construction of the robot vehicles, things like that.
I got to ask you guys, were you involved at all with the FIRST program for Inspiration of Robotic Science and Technology?
No, actually.
Okay, just curious.
Yep.
They target generally the high school kids.
Yep,
and they've been doing it for, about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Kahneman is the guy who made the segue.
Okay,
This is his philanthropy project.
Okay.
Once a year, they give the kids a project. And the kids work with industry people as well.
Sure.
They come to us at work, and we have mechanical engineers and software engineers that chip in their free time and do that kind of thing. So I was just wondering if there was any tie-in with that from a personal level.
Oh, actually, personally, before coming into this program, I had absolutely no experience with technology.
Really?
I could use a computer. I could process Word documents,
right,
put together a little thing in Publisher, simple little things like that. But before this program, I was by no means computer literate as far as programming is concerned, as far as technology is concerned. The program does a very good job the first two semesters, getting you familiar with all of that, bringing you up to speed, giving you the basics on everything,
mm-hmm,
so we can then go from there.
So, now, compare this smaller unit. What did you say it weighs, or how do they measure the robots? This one versus the one in the room next door doing the milling.
The way Kuka does it is they put it off by the payload the robot is able to handle.
Okay.
This particular robot is a KR3. The 3 standing for, it's got a max payload of, I believe, 3 kilograms.
Sure.
Okay. They go all the way up to the KR500, which is obviously 500 kilograms plus. No, this is actually not even the biggest robot.
Oh,
this robot right here...
That one's, about 7 feet?
Yeah, this one's about 7 foot tall. Their tallest robot is actually 21 foot tall fully extended. When the arm is fully extended, it's 21 foot tall, weighs roughly 4 tons.
Capable of lifting over 500 kilograms.
Yep.
They've actually got a ride incorporated in that one. It's called the RoboCoaster, where you take that 21 foot arm, strap a 2-seater roller coaster chair at the end, and it can spin you on all 6 axes.
Now, if you Could you take the software you wrote on this one and put it on that one if you had a bigger,
identical,
deck of cards?
Identical software. We can literally go
scalable.
From knowledge on this machine to any of the other ones that you see in here.
So you could prototype something on a smaller one, say in a lab environment,
right,
and move that up to a production environment.
Definitely, exactly.
Do you have to change like the scaling factors to say instead of moving an inch, you move a foot?
Definitely. There definitely would be some lab involved. And actually, technology, the way things are going in the future, there's robot programming is actually going to be done via like CAD type of thing, where you actually will lay it out on the computer, full size, on a computer CAD type of environment, and say, hey, I've got conveyor lines that come in from this direction and this direction, and they need to go out here after some parts are added via this robot.
Right.
You can program and simulate all that in the robot, and then eventually have it out running. So this way it takes out the testing phases where you'd have to build it up and then do all the programming. You can go straight to, it works on the computer, we assemble it exactly how we built it off the computer, it should run perfectly then.
Right, KUKA actually has some software that they developed called KUKA Sim, where you can actually put all these components together on the computer and test them in the virtual environment. That way you've got basically no time, you know, or materials invested, and you'll know whether or not it's going to work before you actually go out and build it.
JunkChat.com.
Ramblings of a technophile.
Anyway, that was pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, really. Anyway, let's move on to our geek library for tonight. We have, in our geek library, we have the Unix commands for advanced users. I think anybody can actually kind of use that. They have stuff about logging in the shell, navigating effectively, shutting down sequence, the file system. Very good resource. I kind of flipped through it and saw a couple things I either forgotten or thought was, hadn't seen before. And I also found a link to the Rubber Band Man Staples commercials. I don't know if you've seen this guy. Especially last Christmas, they had one. It was kind of funny. It's that guy with the big head of hair. He's looking for, he's got the rubber band ball from Staples. They have all the commercials on their site. And MC Escher. I'm a huge Escher fan. Always been an Escher fan. You know, with the optical illusions, you've probably seen them. People have them on t-shirts. I did for a long time. Especially the famous one with a hand holding the glass ball and he's looking at his own reflection. The Escher, MCEscher.com, they have a nice big gallery with a bunch of pictures. They have them all dated, talking about from anything from his early work to his recognition of success. And you'll get a kick out of that if you're an Escher fan like I am. So that brings us down to the end of the show.
Really?
Yeah, really. And coming up this Thursday night, Friday, the Server Room of Horrors. Once again, I want to remind you, and be sure to go over and subscribe over at thefriendsintech.com, and because you'll get the Server Room of Horrors here, but we all had a hand in it, and there's a lot of other stuff going on there too, so be sure to check them out. And yes, the big announcement I've been dying to tell everybody about. This Sunday, we have a guest interview with, wait for it, Adam Savage from the Mythbusters. I can't wait. This we talked to him. He was really nice. Gave us a lot of information on the Mythbusters show. And you can tell he's really into this because he sounded giddy about everything he was talking about. So we're going to have part one of that coming up this Sunday night when Chuck returns. So here you go. This is how to contact us. The listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can also email Chuck at chuckchat.com. You can email me at craig@chuckchat.com. And don't forget, we have the website. What is it, RoboChuck?
Over at chuckchat.com.
Yep, thanks. And we have links to our forums, all the swag. You can go buy some stuff at Cafe Press. We got the mailing list. Please go sign up for that because we make some make announcements in there too. And much more. So here we go. I hope it didn't bore you to tears by myself. And it's not quite the same, I know. So, anyway, RoboChuck, can you give me a big binary high five?
101. Ooh, stop that.